Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Okay, we're going to start again from the beginning of chapter 12.
Okay.
It's a short chapter. And it's talking about when the Mashiach does come, what it'll be like, what'll happen. Basically, after the Golus, after the exile, where we know Hashem has been angry with us, we know that as a people we haven't accomplished what we could have, and then Mashiach will come and we will have learned our, done teshuva and come back to Hashem. So what will be the result? Va'amarta, and we will say by Yom Ahu on that day, Odcha Hashem, we will give thanks to Hashem, which is very appropriate. Hanukkah is the day of Hodos L'Hallel, which is all about giving thanks. That normally when people they mess up and they get thrown, they lose their job or they get banished or they don't come back, you don't always get a second chance. And Hashem guaranteed us that He never will remove His love from us. And so even though throughout history we've had times where we haven't been in the ideal stage, He doesn't give up on us. He always accepts us back. So we will say on that day, we are so thankful that Hashem hasn't given up on us. He had not to be. He was angry. He was angry with us. And Yashiv Afka, and His anger turned away. He didn't let His anger stay forever. His anger was changed, and He's comforted. He's willing to take us back, so to speak. We'll be thankful that we've come back and that we've done we've had a chance. Really, when a person has sinned, so we should be rejected. But the fact that Hashem takes us back and gives us another chance, that comforts us. So that's the message that we will have on that day. Okay, verse 2, and we say this before Havdalah. I'm not sure that I'm sure why we say it before Havdalah, although there is an idea that the Mashiach won't come on Shabbos, because Shabbos is like the world to come. On Shabbos we look at it as if all our problems are solved, because we kind of put them away. In other words, all of our worries, they get pushed aside till after Shabbos. All the bills get pushed aside. It's Shabbos. We don't think about those things. We don't worry about those things. And then after Shabbos, even the Mashiach, there's a question whether he'll be able to travel on Shabbos to announce that he's come. So there is a concept that some people feel the Mashiach won't come on Shabbos. And other people feel, well, if he does come, then he'll explain to us how he did it. We're not going to put it, there'll be so many other miracles that if somehow he works it out to come on Shabbos, then he'll tell us how it'll work out. But the simple of it is that he won't come on Shabbos. And so now that Shabbos is over, now we can come. So that's what the Havdalah, that's where we begin, that we begin this way. There is also idea when the week starts, it's scary. Meaning, when Shabbos comes, there's the idea that there's judgment in the world, and the people after they die go through the purgatory and they go through judgment. And when Shabbos comes, Hashem stops the judgment. Even the wicked in Gehenna, they get on Shabbos, they get a reprieve. And when after Shabbos is over, then judgment begins again. But Shabbos is a day of rest for everybody, even for the wicked in Gehenna. And so sometimes you even feel that, like the week starts, you feel that, like the seriousness of the, like Shabbos, you're relaxed and you're chilled and it's fine and it's been, and then all of a sudden you make Havdalah, it's like, oh no, I got this bill to pay, I got that appointment, my week is starting, but there's the idea that the wicked, they have to go back to Gehenna after Shabbos. They have to go back to their judgment. And so it's kind of scary. You put aside all of your worries and all of your woes and all of the, anything that's bothering you, and you enjoy Shabbos, and now Shabbos is over and it's back to work. So therefore the ideal prayer is to have a prayer, we begin Havdalah with how are we going to face the week. So we begin with this, Hinei Kel Yeshuasi, behold, Hashem is my salvation. You know, we have all kinds of hopes. You know, the government is going to save us. Obama is going to save us. Something else, socialism is going to save us. Everybody had a different idea of what was going to save us. But we Jews, we put our hope in Hashem. Hashem is the only one that Hashem is the source of Kel Yeshuasi. My God, he's the source of my salvation. It's not going to come from anywhere else. It's not going to be any. If there's something that'll save me, that'll come from Hashem. Eftach, I have faith. I have bitachin. I have trust. V'lo efkad, and therefore I will not be scared. And a person is not supposed to be scared. A person is supposed to work on that. That person is. It says that the person feels like unusually afraid. Certain people, they're like always afraid. Hashem runs the world. Things will be okay. I mean, there are times where we have to take a lot of precautions, and we wish that we didn't have to take certain chances, and we live in times where things are not as safe as they were when we grew up, right? A person is supposed to have faith and not be afraid. We have to. That should make us calm. That David HaMelech said that he could take on the world, you know, when he has Hashem, right? When Hashem is on his side, it doesn't matter how many troops are against him. And so a person should try to reinforce that he has faith in Hashem, and there's no, I will not be afraid. I have nothing to fear in the future. Why? Ki azi, because Hashem is my strength. V'zimras kav, and I'll sing to him. Interesting, the word zmiros, like I will sing songs of praise to him. And as long as I can praise Hashem, that'll be my salvation. That'll help me overcome all kinds of obstacles in life. Verse 3. Ushapta mayim besasot. I'll pour out water in joy. This is a little bit more obscure what it means. There was a ceremony in the temple called the Nisuch HaMayim, the pouring of the water. Or the they had a room where they called the Beis HaShoeva, where they had the water pouring. There's an idea that with a person is a farmer, and they're trying to grow something, the life-giving force is a stream of water that comes forth. If the river overflows, if it irrigates, and that water, when that water pours forward, so all of a sudden the dry seeds will sprout to new life. You see that in the springtime, all of a sudden things, you know, right now all the leaves are down, and all of a sudden the spring things will start growing and blooming. Where did that come from, right? And that, so it came from the well of life, and so it describes Hashem as the pouring of water. We in one place in the Haftorah we're described as dry bones. Sometimes we feel like that. We're just a bunch of old bones, right? We're dry bones, but the dry bones come back to life. There's a life-giving well that Hashem, if he pours out water, Hashem pours out a force that can make things rejuvenate and that can give things new strength and can make them grow, just like plants rejuvenate. So sometimes we feel that we're not up to certain challenges, so the pouring of the water symbolizes, just like a farmer where he waters, the stream will water his crops and will bring them to life. So too, Hashem pours water, so to speak, and that will bring us to life. That's one idea. There's another idea that this refers to crying. There's an idea that sometimes our prayers are not sincere enough. They're just not. We're a little bit phony. We do, you know, we mumble away and we say the same things we say, but do we really mean it? Well, when our eyes tear, they say that's the strongest prayer. And so if you pour water, if you cry with, you know, tears, there's tears of joy, there's tears of sadness. If you pray, if you're shafta mayim, if you pour out the waters, then a person, we're not as good at it. There was a time when people davened where it was really normal to see people that davened with tears. They were emotional people, and they could, when something came from their heart, they I think that part of our society says, you know, you got to be a man, you got to be brave, you got to hold back the tears, and you know, we just don't have the same. But we believe that the gates of the tears are always answered in a person. So pour out the water, you know, pray sincerely, or pour out the water. Let Hashem's life-giving forces rejuvenate you, and do it in joy, mimena HaYeshua, from the wells of His salvation. Verse 4, Vamarta b'yamahu, and you'll say on that day, Hodu l'Hashem ki u b'shmo. Thank Hashem, those that call out to Him. Now, some people, they wait and they say, well, if Hashem gives me a sign, or if Hashem talks to me, then I'll talk back. No, you got to call Him. You got to pick up the phone and say, I'm here, Hashem. He's done enough of, you have to call to Him. Kol b'shmo, Hodu ba'amim. And you know what? You have to share the good news. Tell your neighbors, tell the nations of Hashem. Tell the people, Hizkiru ki nisgav shemo, and let them know that Hashem is exalted. Verse 5, Zamru Hashem ki geosasa, Hashem has done mighty things, great things. Modasa, let it be known everywhere. Tell people about it. 6, and this really is a certain, the people in Israel, the word Zion, I mean, you know, the word Zionism, I actually saw that when they made the State of Israel, they were debating whether they should call it Israel or Zionism. or Zion. Those were the two. I think Palestine was in third, but I guess the Arabs would have known what to do if we called it Palestine.
Rabbi, in the prayers and everything in the Torah, they talk about, you know, Jerusalem, the city, and Zion. But isn't Zion supposed to be that part of Jerusalem, which is the holiest? And this, I mean, that's how it's usually referred to in a lot of these prayers and everything.
So the word Zion actually means a like a sign or a monument. It's fine. It's like it'll be like an example for people that from a far distance can see, There's the idea that the Hashem's plan for history was for the Jewish people, the chosen people, to serve Him and be an example, to be a sign, to be a Sion for the whole world. In other words, to be a light unto the nations. That was it. If we do things in the right way, then the rest of the world will learn about Hashem through us. And that's what the word Zion actually means, like a sign. We will be at Zion. A Zion is a monument or something that people will look and they'll notice and they'll say, wow, that's where I learned about Hashem.
Yeah, it's like when it says Zion, the place of your dwelling. Mm-hmm. So it's not actually a place.
That's correct, yeah.
But it's symbolic of the place.
Of the place, right. Zion teitz Torah, from Zion will come forth Torah. So over here, it's Sally Veroni, shout and praise. It's an interesting combination. The word Rina is like a happy song. Shout and sing a happy song, those people that live in Zion. Ki gadol bekirbeh. You know why? Because Hashem is great, but He's in your midst. There's the idea that Hashem's intense presence, Hashem makes His home, He dwells amongst you. HaKadosh Yisrael, the Holy One of Israel. So that's the. This was kind of the end of the Messianic passage that was begun with 11 and 12. Now we go back to a different prophecy. And one of the things I mentioned is that sometimes these prophecies were separated by spans of years. And they weren't said to the same people, but they all end up in the same book. And so it's sometimes hard to go from one prophecy into another. Going back to. The Jewish people that they were told that because of their sins eventually they would go into exile, and Bavel would be the nation that would destroy the Beit HaMikdash, and they were the nation that conquered Eretz Yisrael, the Babylonians, and they were very brutal. They did not take pity on the women and children, and they bashed the little children on the rocks, and they destroyed, you know, Eretz Yisrael. This was not just a military thing. Bavel was a very brutal and cruel enemy. And when they were on the, they conquered the neighboring nations, and Hashem, like, gives different nations a moment. Everybody has their moment in time, so to speak. Every nation has that time when they're on the top of the world, where they're, you know, they're important and they're big and they have the opportunity to do things. And then the question is, what do they do with it? And many times they disappear, and they, I mean, you know, look at our time, you know, look what Russia was at one time, and look at, you know, you have a country like Spain, which, you know, and today Spain is almost bankrupt, or Greece, or, you know, and at one time Greece was the Hanukkah story. They were running the world. They were, you know, the Greeks and the, and every nation is given their moment of glory. And if they use it in the right way, then they accomplish good things, then they become famous. If they don't use it, then they become infamous and they disappear.
How many weeks are left for America?
What?
How many weeks are left?
They talk about that. Everybody wants to know. I was just reading today, there's an article about whether we're going to be the, what do you call it, the superpower. How much longer? You know, how long will America, have we lost it? Are we losing it? Are we on a downward spiral? In other words, throughout history, America was growing and becoming greater and more powerful and more advanced. And that, and now the test grades, the Asian kids are doing better than the American kids, right? They're getting higher test scores than the you know, and they, for the first time, they showed that it used to be that every succeeding generation would have more than the previous generation. Mm-hmm. Now they're beginning to wonder. It looks like they're going to have, you know, like, you know, our parents had one car, we have two cars, right? Or they lived in a small house, we live in a big, you know. But then, looking down, the kids are going to have to pay for, you know, all the bills of all the, you know, the bad decisions and all of the things that the parents, you know, thrust on future generations. And nobody knows whether the next generation will have less. Or they're afraid that that's happened already. Some people say that with the debt that we carry, it's already happened. But at any rate, Bovell had their moment of greatness, and he's prophesying that they're going to disappear from the scene. That they shouldn't, they're not going to get away. And somewhat it's a comfort. When a person has a very brutal, wicked person that causes them trouble, it's comforting knowing that they're going to get theirs. That's just the way it is. You know, when somebody knows that there was a bad person, it's, you know, if they get that guy in Syria, you know, and they just, you know, kill him, I wouldn't shed any tears. It would be a happy occasion, you know, like he's such a bad, you know, the rotten apple. There are a lot, you know, we rejoice when wicked people are destroyed. So the fact that Bovell is going to get theirs is important, is Hashem's justice. Just a little bit of background, what happened. It's a little bit confusing because Bovell, what's interesting today is that all of the ancient peoples in the Middle East are still there. You have the Kurds, and you have the Shias, and the, what is the other one called? The Sunnis, and the, so these basically are the Medes and the Persians, and you have the Persians, and there's an Arab people, and there's a Bedouin, and there's a... But the peoples are still there. We just have different names for them. In other words, there's four or five nationalities in the Middle East. There's probably even more. But there's these four or five, the Shias and the Sunnites and the Kurds. And at different points in history, they would get their opportunity. So the Babylonians, they became the empire, and they conquered all the neighboring countries. And what happened was, I think it was Nebuchadnezzar, that would be the emperor. He was the one in Iraq, I believe. And that, you know, I get my history mixed up now and then. But what happened was, he took out the vessels of the Beit HaMikdash to celebrate the fact that he was the head of the world. And at that banquet, there appeared handwriting on the wall, the famous handwriting on the wall. And nobody knows how somebody would write on the handwriting on the wall, and it was a foreign language. And he brought Daniel to interpret it. And it was written in the old Hebrew script, and it basically said that your kingdom is going to be divided tonight. And what happened was that that very same night, the Medes and the
Persians.
The Persians, that's right, came and they took over the country and they wiped out Babylonia. One of the countries that took over was the country that Ahasuerus would be the king of. He wasn't king at that point, but it was shortly after that. But
Persian.
That's Persian, yeah. So I think it was the Persians and the Medes. What do they call them in the Chumash? Persians are called the maybe Mad, well that Mada or the Medes, Pras and Mada, yeah, the Persians.
What are they called?
Pras.
The
Madai. So this is the description of the downfall of the Babylonians. These other countries were in the same physical place, but the dynasties and the empires that ruled were wiped out and taken over. That's basically what happened there. So the same physical area that was controlled by the... today, when you study history, you see that. You know, they'll go through, there'll be this one empire that did these types of things, and then all of a sudden, that entire empire was wiped out by some marauding neighbor, and a new empire comes. It happened to Egypt many times, where the country would come in and take over. So, Masa Bavel. Now it's time for the harsh prophecy of Bavel, Asher Chazi Yeshayahu Ben Amatz, that was seen by Yeshayahu Ben Amatz.
Well,
so like right now in Syria, he's a what nation is? He's an Alawite. And there's at least three other big minorities there. There's the Alawites and the Sunnis, and there's also Christians, Coptics, I think, or no, that's Egypt.
No, Egypt is Coptic.
Do they have Christians? They have Kurds and Alawites and Sunnis. So that those three nations are the Babylonians, the Persians, and the Medes, or the, you know, so at different times throughout history, one group controls the government and runs things, and then there's certain, you know, the Assad dynasty or the Alawites has been there since, I think, World War II at least. But their time is going to come, and then there'll be somebody else, some other people. So even though physically more or less the same people will be in that area, there'll be a certain group that's running things. A certain one of the minorities will be in charge, or the. But I'm just saying that hasn't really changed in the Middle East, where you have these different groups, and at a certain point, one group will take the power and set the tone for the country. And I think one of the reasons they gave the Nobel Prize to the European Union was that it used to be that Europe's were constantly fighting with each other, constantly. You know, the Hundred Years' War and this war and that war. There was this constant. So that somehow the only thing they don't tell you is that there's nothing to fight over anymore. The countries themselves have. No longer are not what they used to be. They don't have the same, you know. They were bled. All the youth were killed in the last few wars that they had in the last few centuries. And so there's just there's not as much to fight over. Although Europe could fight again, but throughout much of history, it was a constant turnover and a constant. The country, you know, a country like Poland was run by Russia, was run by Germany, was run by the neighbors of Lithuania, was taken back and forth. So Babylonia, above all, though, they abused their power, and Yeshayahu is going to say this harsh prophecy about them. Ahar Nishba, on a high mountain, or a quiet mountain, so Nes, put up a sign, Harimu Kolehem. Warn them. Hinifu Yad, wave to them. Yahweh, let them know. They were very haughty, the Babylonians, and they abused their power, and they were horrible to the nations they conquered. And so they needed to be more humble. They needed to realize this would not last forever, and that their power would be taken away. Nisavisa Mikuchai. Hashem has different messengers, and when Hashem wants. I mean, here we're hopefully getting rid of Assad, and who's going to get rid of him? Al-Qaeda. You know, our worst enemy is being killed by our other worst enemy. But when the time comes to get rid of somebody wicked, Hashem will cause somebody to be designated to do it. So, now, so Hashem's, so to speak, convinced these other nations now to... these other nations came out of the woodwork to defeat Bavel. Like it was like a surprise attack in the middle of the night. Bavel wasn't even defending against it. That's one way the wars have changed. Now, with all the surveillance and things, you wonder if there'll ever be another Pearl Harbor, if there'll ever be a surprise.
Yeah.
I'm sure that there will be, but it's just interesting if that changes the dynamic. Like, you know, countries know ahead of time when, you know, will there be the surprise attack or not. But Hashem commanded those to do, he calls them Akucha, his holy ones, but he means people that are going to be designated to be his agents. Gam Karasi Gibori Le'api, they are strong people that are coming to take care of my anger. Alize Gavasai, to get the haughty, arrogant people above him. Kol Amon Baharim. You can hear this, the voice in the mountains. Mus Am Rav Kol Shom Amlachas Goyim. The Babylonians didn't see it. They thought they would be in charge forever. They were not afraid. But Yeshaya is telling them, you can hear the nations of the world are going to be gathering. Mefakid Tzva Milchama, and they are going to make war. Verse 5, Boim Eretz Merchak, they'll come from a faraway nation, Mikatzeh Shemayim, from the other end of the earth, like nobody expected them, Uklei Zamo L'chava Kol Ha'aretz, and they will come with means of destruction. Verse 6, Hilidu, you better cry, Ki Korev Yom Hashem, because the day of Hashem has come, Keshod Misdei Yavo, it's like a raid, it's going to come. These Babylonians who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and were so arrogant, and they brought out the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, and they thought that they could do whatever they wanted with impunity, they should know, they should be afraid, because they're going to get theirs. Alkein kol yadayim tirfanu, all your hands should be weak. The kol leva v'nishimosh, all your heart should melt. The people have a warning because there's somewhat a chance to do teshuva and to change. Or at least when it happens, they should know what's coming as retribution for what they've done. V'nivhalu tzirim. Now, the people, when the danger comes, they're going to be afraid, and they're going to have pangs. Yoksin kilei, like when a woman gives birth, she's in big pain, she has large pains. That's the pains the Babylonian will have, the Babylonian. Yechilu ish al re'ehu. And people will be amazed at the troubles that will come on them. Yitamu pnei lahavim pneihem, and their faces will be like a flame. Verse 9, Hine yom Hashem bo, at the day of Hashem will come, akzori, it'll be a day of cruelty, ve'evra, v'chor naf, and Hashem's eger, lasu ma'arz l'shama, he's going to make the land desolate. V'kateha, and those sinners, yashmini menu, will be wiped off. Ki kakokve Hashemang siim, and the stars of the heavens and the constellations lo yehel orim, they won't give light. Chashak Hashemesh, even the sun will be dark. The Yireik lo yehel, in other words, they counted on their superpowers. They counted on their sun and their moon. And Hashem is saying that their sun will grow dark. They won't have the stars either. Upekadet al tevel ra, and Hashem will visit on the corners of the earth. Destruction. I will show him and those wicked people avonam, their sin. Vishbadati go and he'll destroy their arrogance. Zaydin Vigavasarichim Ashbel, and he'll lower them down. Okir Enesh mi paz, v'adami kesem ofir. And the people will I will recognize Daniel was the one who was called in to interpret the handwriting on the wall. It says over here, certain people will be considered more valuable than gold. He was the only one in the whole country who could interpret that, and so he was honored with gold. So that some people say that's what it refers to when it says, I'll make a person better than fine gold. Mm-hmm. It could mean also that in times of war, certain people, their skills are very valuable. Verse 13, Alkein Shemayim Argiz, Hashem will make the heavens fight against them, and the earth will quake. Mimikamo, Be'ever Hashem Sav Yom Char on the day of His anger. V'hayu Ketzvi Mudak, and it'll be like a deer that's cornered. Ketzon Ve'ein Kavet, and like sheep that are scattered, and there's nobody to gather them in. The people will be like sheep that don't have a shepherd. Yipna V'ish El Arzo Yenus, and everybody's going to run home. It's like the people will run in all directions. Kol Nipsa, and everybody who's found Yedaker will be stabbed. The Kol Nisva, and everybody who's gathered together, Yipo Bechor, will fall by the sword. Va'olei Mitushu, and their kids will be smashed up in front of them. Yishasu Bateyam, and their wives will be taken away, and they'll be pillaged and destroyed. 17. Be'ir Aleim Es Madad, and I will bring on them the Medes, the nation of Medes, Shekesev. Now, you might think that they always assumed that they would never have trouble because they could bribe people. They have lots of money, and they would be able to bribe any conqueror. The Medes didn't even care about the money. They didn't pay any attention. It was so unusual that they thought that they had the money that nobody would attack them and they would be able to buy their way out. And he said the nation that would come wouldn't even be worried about the money. the kishus narib tishenu, and they'll use their arrows on their kids or pre-betzin. They won't take pity on the fruit of the womb. Albanim lo talkus. Usually, people pity women and children. These needs that would come on would be so cruel that they would just wipe them out. And Babylonia, which was a kingdom of famous kingdom of beauty, Gaon Kastim, that was like the glory of the area of Kastim, Kaseches Elokim, it'll be like turned over very quickly, like Sodom and Amora, like the Sodom and Amora were like the big beautiful cities that in one night were like flipped over. And so too, that's describing what will happen to Babel. Lotesha Lanetzach, and Babel will never rise again. They're going to fall, and that's it. You're never going to see a kingdom of Babel come back up again. They don't have a second chance. Lotishkan Ador Vidor, Lo Yahalu Shem, Or Viveroyim, and people aren't going to stop by there. Lo Yivatu Shem, Avarav Su Shem Siyim. And at the place where the Babylonians will be, their capitals and things, they'll be, you can go there today, they're like wild deserts. There'll be certain animals there. Molotem Achim. And there'll be birds and ostriches, the Shechnusham Benosiana, Usirim Yukdusham. The places where they their old seat of government will be like out in the desert and out in the wilderness. But Ana Iambama and their old palaces, there'll be cats there. I've seen pictures today in the old palaces of Babylonia. They're like in the desert, and they're in the areas today which are overgrown and overrun. And in a certain way, that's preserved them because they're not in the populated areas. In other words, outside the cities in Iraq, they have these different. They've dug different places and found the old palaces of these governments above them. The Koral love of Atav Yemeloi Mishu, and their days will not be extended. So it's very very specific about the destruction of the wicked Babylonians, and they will not go unpunished for the deeds that they had done. And so that's also appropriate for Hanukkah with the Greeks that came against us and were punished and were destroyed. And sometimes we feel that the innocent people are hurt, and we wonder how the wicked thrive, but their day will come, and it doesn't last forever, they get what's coming to them. So.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.